The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" But he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Talk about Jesus' hometown wanting to throw him off of a cliff, and the title of my sermon is A Time to Celebrate. Makes you wonder where we're going today, huh? This story today, it's a little unfortunate that it's broken apart from the story we read in the Gospel last Sunday, because they really are the same story that has simply been broken in half. And if you recall, Jesus shows up in his hometown. This is the story we read last Sunday. Jesus shows up in Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue on Saturday, as was the custom of the Jewish people, and the people bestow upon him this really great honor. They elect him to be the one to read from the scroll that day. And so they present Jesus with the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and sight to the blind and release to the captive, and the oppressed will go free, and the year of the Lord's favor." We all remember that from last Sunday, and that was a Sunday about the good news of being able to do those things for the world. But the story just continues on with what we hear today. When these people first hear these words from Jesus, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, they get really excited. They think, "Oh my gosh, this guy is really popular. He's one of our hometown people. And he comes and he tells us about this really great news, and we're all going to get to be a part of it. We're going to get to be the people that help bring release to the captives and good news to the poor and sight to the blind and yada, yada, yada." And they're really jazzed. And then Jesus follows that up by immediately telling them, "No, no, you misunderstand. You are all failing at this. This is horrible, horrible pastor manners. This is not something that they tell us to emulate in seminary." Now, I want you to imagine for a second, when I started here at Bethania, it was a pretty positive experience. I remember interviewing. The interviews went well. I remember meeting the congregation during our meet and greet, and people at least seemed happy. When the vote finally came and everybody showed up and voted on whether to call me or not, only two people said no. One of those people has since come to me and said it was them, and they apologized and said they regret it. Thanks. When I started here at Bethania, though, there was a really wonderful momentum on my very first Sunday. Now imagine if I had come up here to this pulpit, and for my very first sermon, I said, "All right, folks, I'm your new pastor. We're going to start doing real ministry here at Bethania now. We're finally going to do some good stuff." Now some of you might hear that and think, "Wow, that's great. I'm excited. Good guy." I would imagine most of you, though, would think, "What have we been doing since you got here? What does that say about us up until this point?" That's kind of what Jesus did, really, in his own hometown, nonetheless. And what do? They drive him to the edge of a cliff and threaten to hurl him off the side. And then somehow, with authority, he just proceeds in the midst of them and walks away. And there's definitely the temptation here for any preacher to read this text and show up on Sunday and say, I'm going to teach or treat my congregation like they are the Nazarenes. I'm going to point out all of their faults in all of the ways that they don't do this ministry of God, and then we're going to talk about how we're going to do it better. But I don't want you to throw me off a cliff, so we're not going to do that. Actually, I want to kind of go the opposite direction on this one. Instead of thinking about any kind of faults, I'd actually would like to pause this Sunday and just celebrate. I want to celebrate what we have been doing as a church. I want to celebrate our ministries. Ultimately, folks, I just want to celebrate you this Sunday. Each and every one of you. And if any of you are sitting there right now thinking to yourself, well, he's not talking about me. Yes, I am. I want to celebrate you this Sunday. As a pastor, I take on this church and its dreams and its hopes. And by extension, I take on your dreams and your hopes. I take on our hope to succeed as a church here in this valley, to grow and to flourish and to continue to bring God's love and presence and grace to those around us. And I'll tell you, it's stressful to do that. It's stressful to take that on and then worry that we might fail at some point. I take the stress on of how many butts we have in the pews and how much money we're bringing in to the budget and how we are going to continue to grow and add new members and evolve and still be a presence. And I talk about this a lot with my therapist. And she's the one that always says, Chris, you need to just pause and celebrate what you are already doing. There's always going to be this ministry that comes up next. There's always going to be this work that we have to continue doing. We're kind of like the post office. It never ends. The mail just keeps coming. Ministry never ends, and it needs to keep going, but that can be stressful, and it can completely wipe us out unless we just pause and celebrate. And while I take on the stress as a pastor, the truth is, you as the church members, as the congregants, you are this church. You are the reasons and the means by which this church continues to flourish. And I am absolutely dependent on you to keep this work going. And so just like my therapist extends that wonderful advice to me to give me that space to pause and celebrate, I want to do the same thing for you, and I want us to just pause and celebrate today. I want to start off with this little tidbit here as well. We were going into December with a $7,000 deficit, and we ended December overall with the whole budget in the black. Now, that is the first time that has happened since I have been here at Bethania. However, this also happened while we funded a family ministry director position. Now, this church voted on this before I started, that we were going to hire someone as our family ministry director. We committed to the salary we were going to pay them. And when we finally implemented it, we knew we're going to be in the red for a while. This is an investment that we are making in this church. Yet, at the end of 2018, we ended our budget in the black. We did that because of your giving. We did that because of your ministry. We did that because you show up and because you get involved. And we did this probably 2 years before we expected to. That is incredible, folks. Do you understand how incredible that is? And that's not because of me. That's because of you. And that youth ministry has continued to give back to others. This last summer, we sent kids to Houston, I think for the first time in this church's history, to be part of the National Youth Gathering among 30,000 other kids. Especially after Houston's hurricanes to go there and help people get back on their feet. I mean, this is nothing short of astounding. We have this really fun rummage sale that has happened now the second year. That's a lot of fun, right, Livier? You enjoy, yeah. The amount of work that takes is indescribable. And she did it, and she had the help of church members to do it as well, and our youth, and to raise this money that we did not expect to raise as part of our regular budget, so that these kids can then go to the National Youth Gathering in Minneapolis. We have a social ministry committee again. When I started here, our social ministry committee was Linda. That's it. But we have a whole team of people now that are focused to how this church is going to give back to this community. And it is vibrant. And it is doing incredible work. We're doing these kits for homeless people that live in our riverbed here in the valley that a lot of the town wants to ignore. We've been packing breakfasts for seniors in Buellton who only expect to get one meal a day. And because of this, they get to expect two. We are we're creating these Christmas gifts for these little kids out in Iglesia Luterana Santa Cruz. And I think when I started here, we were doing about 30 kits a year. And I think we're up to about 60 now. 70. Livier's telling me 70. No, you're shortchanging yourself. That's more than double. That's more than double the amount of kids that get to get Christmas presents that we're not expecting them. And that's because you all go and choose these cards with these gifts on them, and you go out there and you buy them, and then we have this fun day wrapping them up. That's 70 children who get to look at a Christmas box and see their name written on it, to know that someone has thought about them, someone out there loves them, and is willing to dedicate this time to them. We have a second service, folks. Did anybody expect that to happen anytime soon? We have a second service, and it's doing pretty good. And we have people who are helping put that service together, people who are volunteering their time to make that happen. And I really want to share this with you, and I was very open about this in the beginning of December. I talked about Merritt, the homeless guy who came and stayed here, and the circumstances to which led to his departure, and how much that really hurt me as a pastor and as a Christian. And I shared that with you as the congregation openly. And you know what happened because of that? The congregation and the preschool board came together and said, we're not going to allow something like that to happen again. Our council came together and said, we need to develop a policy where our outreach, our ways of being God's hands and feet in this world are not affected by outside circumstances. And our preschool board too. Our preschool board came together and developed a policy saying that this is a space of outreach. This is a space that cares for people. And we're always going to respect the children's safety at the preschool, but we're not going to let anything stop our outreach. That was a moment where I went from devastation at what happened with Merritt to having my therapist tell me, look at what was created because of it. I stood back from that moment and realized there is a whole church here who is willing to come together as one, with one voice, and say what happened with Merritt was wrong. And that's not how we understand our purpose as Christians, and we're not going to let that happen again. Now, everything I just went over, folks, that's just our new stuff that we've been doing. I didn't mention any of the stuff that we've been doing for a long time. The truth is, when I started here as a pastor, this was a church full of heart and vibrancy and passion and people who care. That's all of you. And I'm standing up here today to celebrate that, to celebrate you, to celebrate the identity of this church, the identity that we hold as Christians, and our call as Christians to be God's hands and feet for this world, to make this community and this world a better place. And that's because of you that happens. Why celebrate this? As I was writing this sermon, that was a question that popped in my head. Why is it important to just pause and celebrate this? It's not to make sure that you keep donating money to the church. There's a reason for us to just pause. Because ministry is this ongoing thing. Because we might have an event like the rummage sale that takes a lot of work, and the moment it's over, we are immediately on to the very next thing. We need to just pause and look back at the work that we do to see how meaningful it is and to see who it helps and to remind ourselves why we are Bethania Lutheran Church. But also this, and this is a big one, we need to pause and celebrate, folks, and I encourage you to do this in all facets of your life. And if you are a guest who is with us today and heard me talk about all of these things and you're like, I have no idea what he's talking about, I'm just visiting town today, trying to do some wine tasting, whatever, listen to this part too. We need to pause and celebrate all of the things that happen in our lives, because when we look back onto those actions, it's in those spaces that we see God. We usually don't recognize it when we're in the midst of it, but when we can pause and look back in hindsight, you can say to yourself, oh, that's where God was. That's how God was working in that moment. I couldn't see it before, but I can see it now. But not only that, you can look back and you can say, ah, that was heaven. You know, heaven, this thing that Jesus is always talking about, this kingdom of God. Oh, that was it right there. When we have some crazy event that takes a lot of planning and then finally the day of, you look around and realize all of these different folks from the community are involved, coming together, helping to put this stuff on, to make it a success, to be able to pause and look back at that and say, ah, that was the kingdom of heaven right here in Bethania. And the more that you can pause and look back and celebrate these things, the more you can look at your present circumstances and say to yourself, wow, God is right here in this very moment. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. If you think about what's happening right here in this moment on this Sunday service, folks, we are all gathered here together today, all of us from different backgrounds. We have folks from Denmark. We are gathered here today, united by God's love for each of us, united by our call to make this world a better place. Folks, right here in this very moment, this is heaven. Unless this is a bad sermon, then maybe it's not heaven. But the more we can see God behind us, the better we can experience God with us now. I want to close by just telling you how grateful I am to be here as your pastor. I want to close by saying how grateful I am for each and every one of you. For all of the different ministries that you are a part of, for all of the different facets of Bethania's life that you are involved in, for the time and the resources that you donate to this church so that we can be a light, God's light for this community, I can't tell you how grateful I am. I see a lot of my colleagues who I went to seminary with who are so burnt out from their first call experience, people who are just begging to finally move on to a church that better suits them. And I kind of keep quiet because I feel so blessed to be here, because I don't have that experience here, and this is a place that I plan on being at for a very long time, unless you throw me off a cliff, then. But I am so, so grateful for each and every one of you. And today is a day where I, as your pastor, just get to celebrate you. So thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you will continue to do. It does not go unnoticed. As you leave today, I want you to celebrate you as well. Enjoy coffee hour. Have fun watching the Super Bowl, even if the Patriots win. But just pause and celebrate the ways that you are involved at this church, and celebrate the people that that continues to help. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.